answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
If our Republican majority stand up for these priorities, the American people will stand with us in record numbers. We have to be strong. We have to be tough. And we can't let these thugs on the other side of the aisle push us around, because what they're doing right now is wrong. And the public knows it. Now the public knows it. And they're on our side. But you have to fight and you have to be tough. You have to be much tougher. Then you have to stick together. Republicans have to stick together.
President Trump making it clear that if we're going to continue to keep the lefty loonies at bay, we must stand together. Now, you might not like Trump that much, okay? That's fine. What he's accomplishing compared to what Joe Biden did, you cannot deny our borders are secure. They're closed. We're not open up to all the illegals crossing over, unvetted, unchecked. But, of course, we already have so many in that Joe Biden allowed to come in. Thank you, Joe Biden, that they're in our midst right now. And who knows what they're planning? Those are terrorists that are inside our nation. That does not mean every foreigner, even if they're illegal, is a terrorist. But we don't know, because we don't know. And yet many Americans realize that if we do not stand strong and correct, as Trump is saying, we're going to weaken our nation. I have told you repeatedly, you need to watch what is happening in Europe and what they've allowed happening across the face of Europe. We cannot allow that to happen here. There is a migration policy statement from the, it is a conservative group, New Direction Foundation for European Reform, a think tank. It estimates that across Europe, there are anywhere from 900 to 1,000 urban areas you could call no-go zones. Elevated levels of crime, weakened state authority, if any authority whatsoever, and obviously involving, in most cases, illegals. The think tank found that 63% of Islamist terrorist attacks in Europe between 2010 and 2025 had a verified link with one of these no-go zones. Now, you've heard that phrase used in the past, reference France. And, of course, now we're hearing it in England and in Germany and elsewhere around Europe. And some of those areas, police really don't want to go in to try to enforce any laws because they feel like they're walking into another country, when in fact it's migrants from another country that have taken over the area. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors USA, March 26, 2026. And with Larry Connors USA, you're going to get news, analysis, commentary, and education. You will leave this hour with more knowledge than you have right now. And coming up later in this hour, a former attorney general who says the Democrats who are fighting to keep election integrity away from you and open to every illegal voter that they want, they are racist. And these are the words of a former attorney general who is black. He says the leftists are racist, trying to act like they are defending the rights of those that might not have a right to vote. Well, of course everyone has a right to vote if you're an American citizen. And, of course, in the sanctuary states, they will allow you to vote even if you're not, at least into state elections and local elections. Reminding you also, we're on the air. We are streaming video. You can watch the program. You simply go to Newstalk STL Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter, or Larry Connors USA Rumble or Facebook. And if you miss any part of either program, reminding you that you can always pull it up as a podcast, video or audio. Again, go to Newstalk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, Larry Connors USA Facebook, and you'll find it posted shortly after we go off the air. So we'll be there for you. In the meantime, back to President Trump and his warning to the lefty loonies and trying to make sure that Americans recognize what is at stake.
Americans saw the true and craven nature of congressional Democrats during my State of the Union, and we're not going to let that happen again. They really are. They're a party, and it's terrible to talk. I want it to be the old way where they got, you know, Democrats, Republicans used to get together, have lunch, and then they'd fight a little bit, and, you know. But it doesn't seem to be happening that way. And this is before me. Because if you go back to Obama, he was a great divider. He divided this nation. Yep. He was a lousy president. The worst president in history was Biden. But Obama was a terrible president. He was a divider. He did so many bad things, but they're the party of fraudsters, criminals, radicals, illegal aliens, high taxes, and putting America last. That's what they are. They put America last. Republicans are the party for every hardworking patriot. And we do something very much different than them. We put America first.
That's what it should be. America first. America first. You bring it down to your family level. I know you mean no harm or ill to other families, but you're going to protect your family before you rush to help anyone else that might need their family protected. It's the mama bear syndrome that basically too many have simply walked away from. They just don't want to deal with it. And they want to claim that Trump is trying to divide us. No, he's trying to galvanize unity. You know, when we last had an instance that supposedly brought our nation together and on our knees? 9/11. And that lasted for only a short time. Then everybody was back up yelling and shouting at each other. I remember one of the times I was invited to interview Reagan and be at a luncheon with him. And I'm sitting there, and he's maybe less than 8 feet away from me. And I'm thinking, I'm a reporter. I need to remind myself I'm a reporter. But I don't have to get vile and angry. I liked Reagan, but I didn't want to look like I'm siding with him. But I also thought of the time that Trump was referring to, when Reagan and Democrat leaders would be at each other and then turn around that evening, get together and have a social cocktail and tell some jokes. That was a different time. Of course, now we have many in this nation. They don't care about your family. They don't care that your family might be subjected to what Obama and Biden created, and that is all the illegal activity encouraged to come into our nation, threatening our American people and public, and threatening other migrants. Keep that in mind. Carolyn Leavitt from the White House.
In recent days, we saw the deadly consequence of this deranged policy of Democrat open borders and an illegal alien first agenda. A beautiful 18-year-old girl, Sheridan Gorman, she was shot and killed in Chicago last Thursday morning while walking in a park with friends. The suspect in custody for murdering her is a Venezuelan illegal alien who was caught and released at the border by the Biden administration in May of 2023. Why would the Biden administration catch and release a Venezuelan illegal alien? That is not happening anymore under this president. But there are still tens of thousands, if not millions, of these illegal aliens in our country who seek to do harm to innocent Americans, like this beautiful young woman whose family will now never be the same because of her death. To make matters even worse, this monster was also released from local custody again after a shoplifting arrest, where? In the sanctuary city of Chicago in June of 2023.
And you know, today at the cabinet meeting, President Trump stopped the meeting for a moment and started talking about that young woman and her death. That's how important it is to him. And there's something else that some folks won't recognize. We have pointed it out before. Illinois Congresswoman Republican Mary Miller.
Illegals that have brought diseases across the border. Katie Abraham's killer, illegal alien, was had full-blown AIDS when he came over the border. And now we know that the killer of Sheridan Gorman has tuberculosis. And he actually didn't show up to his hearing because he was getting medical care, which cost almost $30,000 for him, paid for by taxpayers.
Is anyone paying your medical bill, or will they if you get sick? If you get yourself thrown into prison, federal taxpayers will do it, or in a state prison. And if you're here illegally, we'll find federal tax dollars to pay for your medicine. Oh, you're an American? Good luck. You're on your own. That's the attitude. Back to the other issue, of course, dealing with Iran. How do we deal with them when we don't know who the hell is in charge?
One of the problems they do have when they deal with us is we deal with people and the people aren't able to communicate with anybody else. So, you know, because all of their leadership has been gone. The first level is gone and they met to pick a new level and they're gone. They're all gone because they didn't make a deal and because they're sick people. They're really sick. They're really sinister, sick people. And if anybody thinks it was okay to have a group of people like this to have nuclear capability, nuclear weapons, and if we didn't attack with the B-2 bombers, they would have had a nuclear weapon within 2 weeks of that, maybe 4 weeks. But between 2 and 4 weeks, they were planning to have a nuclear weapon. If we didn't hit them at that time with the B-2 bombers, and one of the great air raids in history, maybe the greatest.
And, you know, the naysayers out there are saying there's no proof we were within 2 to 4 weeks of Iran having a nuclear weapon. I don't care if it's 2 to 4 weeks, 2 to 4 months, or years. I don't want them to have one. Neither does the rest of the world. Speaking about trying to find some peace, Pakistani officials say they just delivered a new 15-point ceasefire proposal from the U.S. to Iran. Pakistan and Turkey could also host additional ceasefire negotiations. They want to see this come to a halt soon, too. And I would imagine commanders and top leadership in the Iranian regime would like to see it stop before they meet with the fate of a Navy admiral, as reported by Trey Yingst.
Hey, Brian, good morning. Overnight, Alireza Tangsiri, a top IRGC Navy commander, was killed in a targeted strike in the southern Iranian city of Bandar Abbas. Tangsiri was the man responsible for ordering the closure of the Strait of Hormuz. He's a man who was also sanctioned by the U.S. government in 2019. I'm told his senior operational leadership, including intelligence and operations chiefs, were at a covert naval command center, according to a senior Israeli official.
This is also significant news for our American partners as an expression of the IDF's assistance in reopening the Strait of Hormuz and this historic partnership between U.S. President Donald Trump and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and between our two countries and our two armies.
And we continue to decimate their command structure. So again, who are we supposed to be talking to and trying to bring some peace because they want to continue to fight? All they have to do is agree, one, they're not going to continue to pursue nuclear weapon capability. But they want to tell you that we have an inherent right as Iranians to have a nuclear weapon. Their neighboring nations say, no, they don't. But they made no effort to put a stop to it. Trump is claiming that Iran actually gave him somewhat of a present the other day. Yeah, a present. He said that the Iranian negotiations brought at least the possibility, and in fact it did happen, at least 8 oil tankers to pass through the Strait of Hormuz earlier this week. They might have been Pakistani flag, but he said it was absolutely a present because they were going to allow at least these 8 tankers to go through. But in the meantime, we have to worry about what they're going to do next. And we need to worry and know, keep in prayer, our men and women on the Marines and the Airborne as to what they're going to be doing, maybe at Karg Island, taking control of that greatest asset, the jewel of the Iranian oil capability. It might well involve boots on the ground. I'm against that if it's going to be to invade Iran. If it's to seize the island and shut off any possibility of helping Iran going forward, it might have to come to that. And of course, if you're trying to get from here to there by plane, you need to worry, can you even get through the TSA line? And the delays continue.
According to you, the acting administrator of the TSA said the longer the shutdown continues, the more likely security will become compromised. It comes as workers continue without being paid. President Donald Trump is touting his plan to ease the pressure, deploying ICE officers to help TSA with crowd control and line management.
And they're doing such an unbelievable job at the airports.
But those officers are not replacing TSA screeners, and the president is floating another option.
We're going to send in the National Guard if we need to.
I caught up with Georgia Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock, who says it's time to pay TSA workers.
We can do that while negotiating the sticking points around ICE.
On Capitol Hill, the acting TSA administrator painted a stark picture of what frontline workers are facing.
Some are sleeping in their cars, selling their blood and plasma, and taking on jobs, second jobs to make ends meet, all while being expected to perform at the highest level when in uniform.
And so if they're on the TSA line checking for contraband, and they're tired, they're exhausted, they're trying to figure out where am I going to come up with the money for feeding my family, they might get careless. They're supposed to get another check, supposed to get a check tomorrow. At this point, it doesn't appear it's going to happen. And yet, Georgia Senator Warnock suggested what many have already done, and he's doing it from inside the Democrat Party. Let us go ahead and fund the Department of Homeland Security and the TSA agents and our dispute over what to do with ICE, we can work out later. We have said that over and over again. Democrats ignoring it, fighting back against it. Now it's being said inside their own party. Will that change anything? Not likely. Coming up, my next guest is a former attorney general, and he says the Democrats are racist. He's a black man. I think he's qualified to say that. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Previously, I've told you about dustless blasting, a special service offered by Wellington Environmental. It could work for you in your place. Recently, a crew removed a driveway sealer that had failed. The owner wanted to go back to the original concrete so it could be properly sealed. Dustless blasting worked. That homeowner is happy. Now, sometimes surfaces need pressure washing instead of blasting. In fact, there was an exterior stone fireplace cleansed by pressure washing. And when it dried, all the dark stain was gone. That stone had its original appearance. Wellington is versatile with blasting. Dustless blasting or whatever you need. They will evaluate and make a decision. How do you get them to your door? Very easy. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, making your world great. In fact, be safe, be well with Wellington Environmental. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. John Bill Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. My guest is an ambassador with the Project 21 Black Leadership Network, also a former attorney general for Indiana, Curtis Hill. And he just published a great piece in The Federalist. Curtis, welcome aboard.
Larry, it's great to be here, and thanks for having me.
Well, I'm going to have to start off with a racist question. I'm sorry. I'm going to pose it this way. Here's a white man to a black man. Why are the blacks so stupid they can't get voter ID? So we've got to do something about voter election.
Well, that is the absolute question. And I'm afraid our friends on the left have this firm belief that blacks are too stupid, too dumb, too whatever, to be able to secure an ID. And I don't know about you, Larry, but I know a lot of black people. I don't know a single one that doesn't have an ID. Yep. I'm not aware of a single one that's ever gone to vote that was turned away because they didn't have an ID. So this is a typically manufactured racism that's designed to keep black voters dependent on the Democratic Party.
And your commentary that was published in The Federalist, you raise a very good question. If requiring identification is truly racist, why do we only hear the outrage regarding elections?
Yeah, you know, you need a license for everything, or you need ID for everything. You need an ID to drive a car, to board a plane, to open up a checking account, to buy a cell phone, to pick up utilities. You can't exist in this country without having some form of identification, and it only becomes a racism problem when someone tries to vote.
And when it comes to that, the left and the media legacy supporting them are going to kind of continue to claim it's just, you're just disenfranchising the black people from voting.
Well, and it's time for blacks to wake up and quit being allowed or allowing the left to own the interest in their future.
Yeah.
I think it's absolutely offensive.
You point out that Malcolm X had warned about this insulting trickery decades ago. In what way?
Well, Malcolm X was prone to remind people that the white liberal was much more apt to manufacture racism and use racism as a ploy to keep the black man down than the white conservative. And I think history has demonstrated that. If you look at the plight of black America over the last 50 or 60 years, it was the great society. It was the welfare state. It was the so-called efforts to improve the state of black America that has been the bane of the black American existence.
Well, as Attorney General for Indiana, you know, of course, what you guys were charging for a photo ID. So how many blacks did you keep from getting a voter ID in Indiana?
I can't think of a single one. I mean, to get it, Indiana was one of the first states, maybe the first state to use a voter ID, to require a voter ID. And you can get an identification in Indiana and any other state for less than the price of a Big Mac. And the other thing is that if you can't afford a license, if you can't afford the $10 to get a license or an ID, in Indiana, you can get one for free. And then if you show up to the polls without your identification card, guess what they do? They don't turn you away. They let you vote provisionally. And you've got 2 weeks to be able to come back in and prove that you are who you say you are. What's wrong with that?
You know, I ran some remarks from Joe Scarborough the other day, talking about Mika Brzezinski, his wife, and saying, Mika doesn't know where her birth certificate is, so she might be going to the polls and not be able to vote. She's got plenty of time to apply and get a birth certificate sent to her from her state office, county office, wherever she was born. And everyone out there has time to do that if they don't currently have any identification so they can get a voter ID.
Well, that's the red herring that they're sending out there, too. They're having people suggest that you need to take your birth certificate to the polls. I've never been aware of that. You need to register. The SAVE Act requires that you provide proof of American citizenship when you register. Everyone has to register to vote. And then the other aspect is you provide a photo identification to allow you to vote. Those are very simple forms of requirement. And if you're not for that, the only thing that you could be for is cheating. If you don't allow for someone to prove that they're an American citizen and that they are who they say they are, the only rationale for not wanting to allow that is you want to cheat. You want non-citizens to vote, or you want people to vote time and time and time again to skew the results. That's the only options.
You're listening to Project 21 Ambassador Curtis Hill, former Indiana Attorney General. And I'm looking at, since you brought up what you did in Indiana and how many times you did not turn away someone from getting a voter ID because they're black, you pointed out in your article the Indiana photo law has been in place for years, zero evidence of widespread disenfranchisement. The Supreme Court upheld your law. The sky did not fall. Black voter turnout did not collapse.
Not on the basis of voting. If someone doesn't choose to vote, that's one thing. But being turned away to vote because the requirements are so steep, that's ridiculous. And voting should require some effort. This idea that we push voting on people who don't want to vote. If you don't want to vote, Larry, stay home and don't vote. But don't bitch when it comes time to complain about what goes on in America.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, to that extent, if Mika Brzezinski cannot find her birth certificate, and so she says, well, I won't be able to vote, that's fine by me.
Tough. Yeah, that's too bad. Either go find it, go get a new one, or don't vote. We don't care.
And you have plenty of time. But they're making it look like the fire's already raging. I cannot get over there because of the fire.
Well, that's what they do. They try to make this seem like it's such a dramatic thing. These are choices that people make. These are absolute choices that people make on whether they want to vote, whether they want to find out the minimal requirements that it takes to vote. Voting is a privilege. You want to vote. You want to absolutely participate in your community. And it's no great thing to go out and prove that you're a citizen if you don't have that proof and provide a photo ID, which all of us have already.
And the House has already acted on it. The Senate, of course, needs to do the Save America Act. As you point out, there is no middle ground. You're either for the Save America Act and secure fair elections.
Or you're for cheating.
Or for cheating. Yeah. And some would say, no, I'm not for cheating. It's just they can't explain it. They can't explain it.
Well, they try to suggest that they want to make it as easy as possible for people to vote. How much easier does it need to be, Larry? You're an American citizen, yes or no? You have an identification card that says, I'm Larry. Show me a card that says you're Larry. Ah, yes, check the mark. It's not that big a deal. We've been going through this for a number of years, and they keep bringing this up like it's something new. This is the same tired argument that they use for the Georgia election reforms. It's been the same tired argument that's been used for the last 5, 6, 7 years.
And it's a scare tactic, and too many simply lap it up, like I say, like puppies at water. And they've been doing it.
Well, they compare it to the Jim Crow era prohibitions standards that they tried to create back in the Jim Crow literacy test. Hangings. They actually employed violence to keep blacks from voting in the 20s and the 30s and 40s.
Yeah.
This is nothing like that.
Yeah, there is no poll tax. That was also made clear that was illegal in the sense of that was disenfranchising. And in some cases, you had to be a property owner or you couldn't vote. I mean, they were putting all kinds of... all kinds of blockades in during Jim Crow.
Those were direct efforts that were aimed at keeping blacks from voting. And you know who was behind most of those?
Yeah.
Democrats.
Yep. White Democrats. So tell me how the Project 21 is helping turn the black public to the reality of what they're facing. They may still decide to vote Democrat. That's their choice. But making sure that they're at least informed. How are you doing with that?
Well, Project 21 engages black conservatives to be involved in spreading the message and spreading the message of all the conservative politics in the nation of America. And it's being very effective. We're getting more and more blacks recognizing that the Democratic Party has been utilizing scare tactics for years, that there are policies that are starkly different in terms of what's good and what's in the best interest of the black community. So I'm very proud of my affiliation with Project 21 because we're doing a great service to communicating with the black community about the importance of limited government and the true role of government and truth and freedom.
Well, I want to thank you for your time and wish you and the rest of the Project 21 group more success, because I do think you're beginning to get the ship to turn and more Americans, black and white, are understanding the difference between fact and fiction.
That's it. Larry, I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. We'll do it again. Curtis Hill, an ambassador for Project 21, and he's right on point. And that article you can see in the Federalist and read it, pull it up from the Federalist, dealing with the Identification and the SAVE Act. As he said, it's very clear. If the narrative from the left is to be believed, black Americans are just too incompetent, too poor, too intimidated to get proper identification. It's all a lie. It is a lie. But the left continues to pander to the lowest denominator, which brings me to what's going to be part of our next segment. Do you know how much Somalians have contributed to building Boston? I didn't, but supposedly it's a major, major event, even above maybe Americans. I don't know. We'll get to that and more when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. If they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
And we're down, we go, 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 go. And we're down, we go, 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 go. So we're down, we go, 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 go. We're down, we go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We have voted in the House of Representatives at least twice in the last few weeks to completely fund the Department of Human Services so that all of our citizens, all of our constituents are protected, TSA agents get paid, that nobody works without a paycheck. The fact of the matter is that the Democrats in the Senate have failed to pass the funding for DHS.
Yeah, and you know why? Because they want to hold Americans hostage. That's what they're doing. Those are the words of Tennessee Congressman Kutsoff. I should say Senator Kutsoff of Tennessee. No, let me correct myself again. He is a congressman. He was talking about how the House has done it, but the Senate has not done their part. I apologize. I got off on another page. I was looking at something that I just came across regarding another representative in Congress, a Democrat, who says what's happening right now with the shutdown is all wrong. And this is a Senator John Fetterman of Pennsylvania. He said, Democrats have never had leverage in the DHS shutdown. And I'm quoting him now. He said, we knew going into it that the shutdown of DHS would have zero impact on forcing any kinds of changes in ICE. And what he's trying to point out also, we're having TSA agents suffering right now. But again, back to Fetterman. We knew it would have a shutdown of DHS would have zero impact on forcing any kinds of changes at ICE. Democrats had no leverage, have no leverage, never have had, because ICE already had the money they needed from the big, beautiful bill that I did not vote for. We had no leverage over it. And now they have not agreed to any significant kind of changes that we were demanding. The only thing we're doing, and listen, please, are you listening? Are you listening? He says, the only thing we're doing now is punishing people. That is from Democrat Senator John Fetterman. And earlier we were listening to a clip from Georgia Senator Warnoff, Democrat, who suggested we could go ahead and just get DHS open up and pay the TSA agents and then deal with the ICE situation separately. How many times have we raised that issue? How many times have the Republicans said, all right, just take ICE out of your argument for right now, pass the funding and make sure we get everything and to get paid to the TSA agents. They are due another check tomorrow and they're not going to get it. And many more are walking away from the job. They've got to. They've got to support their families. And ICE agents are being brought in some cases, to help. Not go through identification and all that unless asked to do it, but just there in case they are needed, if for nothing else to help control the massive lines at some of the airports. Some cases it's gotten better. Some cases it hasn't. I've got a flight out of here next month, but I'm going early in the morning. I did not want to get up for a 5:30 a.m. flight, but now I'm glad I am, because There will not be that many trying to go through the checkpoints at that time. And then once I'm on my flight, I'm going to Dallas, and I'll catch a commuter flight to my destination. But now, once I'm already inside the Dallas airport, I've gone through TSA. I don't have to do it a second time, as you well know. So I'll have no problems there unless the situation got so bad that they shut down the airport I'm trying to get to in Texas to have a family reunion. But there are others that have more pressing family needs to get to someone who's ill or sick or dying. And as Fetterman said, the only thing the Democrats are doing now is punishing people. And of course, they're the same ones who wanted more illegals in our country. And we're glad to see Joe Biden open up the borders. And we are paying for it in lives on a constant basis. White House spokesman Carolyn Leavitt.
Again, another innocent American citizen had her life stolen from her because Democrats embrace reckless open border policies and reckless sanctuary city policies, which put criminals back into American communities. How many more Americans have to die before the Democrats end this madness? President Trump's position is very clear. He wants the federal government opened. He wants the Department of Homeland Security funded, and he wants the Democrat shutdown to end immediately. The president will also continue to call on Democrat leaders in sanctuary cities and states like J.B. Pritzker, where this young, beautiful girl was murdered, to cooperate with ICE and stop releasing illegal alien criminals into American neighborhoods.
And you want to know how much worse it goes? What I'm getting ready to share with you is not just appalling and shameful. It is outright disgusting. If you don't want to hear anything disgusting, you need to close your ears or turn the radio, the channel, whatever, right now. Here he comes. I've given you warning. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries was asked, do you think that the illegal who charged with murdering the young woman, Sheridan Gorman, the other day at Chicago, should be deported if convicted? If convicted, should he be deported? Here's a question again. A Fox News congressional correspondent asked Congressman Jeffries, an illegal immigrant has been charged with killing a college student in Chicago. Do House Democrats believe if he's convicted, he's someone who should be deported? I want to stress to you, he's not even talking about because he's charged. He's saying, if he's convicted, should he be deported? Jeffries' answer, I'll look into the case, and just continued walking. You cannot have a firm yes, he should be deported. You're going to say, I'll look into it. Well, you have to head to the bathroom stall to sit down and ponder for a while. This is the Democrat Party of today. Those of you who hate Trump and you hate MAGA, and you want to love the Democrats, do you love that kind of reaction? This is a Venezuelan illegal charged with killing the young woman walking around the lake in Chicago. Excuse me. And when asked, if he's convicted, should he be deported? That should be an easy softball question answer. But they're so locked in to protecting illegals more than Americans, Congressman Jeffries has to say, I'll look into the case. I don't know how you explain such stupidity. I'll call it out. And I'll make it clear how stupid it is, but I don't need to do that for you. You're smart enough to know it. This 25-year-old illegal who's charged had chased down the 18-year-old Sheridan Gorman, a Chicago freshman at Loyola. Chased her down, shooting at her and her friends and opening fire on them as they tried to run. The guy was apprehended originally May 9, 2023 at our southern border, but got released into the U.S., under Joe Biden's catch-and-release policies at that point. A month later, he was arrested in Chicago for shoplifting. But they did not hold him for federal immigration authorities to pick him up because Chicago is a sanctuary city. So now he faces multiple charges, including first-degree murder. He remains in custody. There is no second chance for the young university student. And Jeffries cannot answer if he's convicted. Even if he's convicted, you don't think he should be deported? Who the hell are they serving? Not our country. Not Americans. And then you get Illinois Governor Pritzker saying Trump and his administration need to stop politicizing these heinous tragedies. What's to be politicized? Now, I know we make a case every time there's someone killed by a gun and the left comes out screaming, get rid of the guns, looking for every opportunity, even before the victim is in the ground, to denounce guns. But this is happening over and over again with people who should not even be in our nation. They shouldn't be here. And Pritzker says the Trump people need to focus on real solutions. Reinstating federal funds to prevent violence that support our public safety efforts. What public safety efforts? And how many of the sanctuary cities and states pulled funding for policing? I'm telling you, these, it's like talking to a rock, really. And there are actually, compared to Democrats, I think there might be some smart rocks out there. Might do well for Democrats to grab a bag of them. But what the Democrats also are very good about is pandering. Pandering and finding a way to pull you in and let you know that you're accepted. You're really vital to us. Perfect example right out of Boston.
You cannot talk about any achievement that the city of Boston has had in safety, jobs, and economic development, in education, without talking about the Somali community that has lifted our city up. We are proud and we are grateful for our Somali community and for our Somali American neighbors. Boston and the country are clear that hate has no place in our society. We will use every attack to actually strengthen and expand the services available, to empower and work alongside our community members who are already doing so much good in the world and setting an example for the rest of the country.
The Somalians she's talking about, and they might be here legally. Some might be not. But that's the Boston mayor, Michelle Wu, Taiwanese American. First woman, first person of color, first Asian American to be mayor of Boston. But she's got to rely upon more minority votes going forward. And so she's now pandering to Somalians. We cannot talk about the history of Boston without the accomplishments brought to us by our Somalian neighbors. You want to know how far she's out of touch and how little she's trying to tweak? Boston has something like 670,000 residents. 670,000. It's estimated that there are about 1,400 Somalians. That's 0.021%. Less than 1/4 of 1% of the Boston population. But she's saying out there, we cannot talk about all the achievements of Boston without talking about our Somalian neighbors. Less than 1/4 of 1%, she wants to highlight up because she thinks, I can make sure they're going to stand with me because Somalians are being absolutely pounded in Minnesota. Yeah, because they've been involved in graft and greed. Maybe there's something yet to be broken in Boston and Massachusetts involving them that she's trying to throw up a fence against at this point. But she's absolutely pandering. One, less than 1/4 of 1%. And we can't talk about all the Boston achievements unless we talk about the contributions from our Somalians. You don't really have to understand the numbers or anything to know that if you're talking about less than 1,000, or maybe give them 2,000. Say 2,000 are Somalian in Boston compared to 670,000. Do you understand the difference, the gap? Oh, not if we can use it for political purposes. You know, this time next week will be very interesting in what's going on with NASA's latest venture. Wednesday next week, April 1, they plan to launch a manned crew around the moon, a 10-day journey around the moon. Artemis, named after a Greek goddess. You'll be lifting off from Kennedy Space Center in Florida. And all of this is preparation for additional moon flights and additional moon landings. That's next Wednesday, April 1. I know. April 1 is also April Fool's Day. I will have to say, NASA, couldn't you pick a day on either side of that, seriously? Just for the optics of it. Well, first of all, let's pray that it all goes well. The liftoff and the mission as a whole. NASA also is announcing it wants to spend $20 billion over the next 7 years to build a moon base on the moon, as I said. Could that happen? I think it could. First of all, let's have a safe mission for these astronauts lifting off next Wednesday. As always, thank you for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow, 6 to 8 p.m., Monday through Friday. Let your friends and neighbors, even your enemies, know. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.